The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
Like you said there with Grace Clinton, like if the club is serious about the women's team, you get players like that nailed down as soon as you can, because you can see the impact that she has on the team.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Was this the best, worst Manchester derby in living memory?
That was terrible, wasn't it?
Shocking. It was so bad, right? And yet there's so much to talk about this morning. That's how bizarre it was. What I loved was I stayed right to the end of Sky Sports' footage and they finished it off.
Oh, wow. How did that end it?
Like seven.
Okay.
No, that's not right.
About later.
Eight probably, yeah. Their outro song was Step On, Happy Mondays. And I was thinking, I looked it up, Sean Ryder and Bez are United fans. So they must have one or the other on the go. And I really appreciated that because I was bouncing along to it. Because it was one of the very few times in recent memory, John Art, that I'd be properly celebrating as a United fan. Now, I have to go back again to the baby thing. I had the baby on the lap when Amad Diallo scores the winner. And I silently screamed. But I nearly accidentally threw her across the room because I was like, I didn't think he was going to score. It was just such an amazing moment. And you want to know this amazing coincidence? Do you know how many seconds there were between Manchester United's equaliser and Manchester United's winner?
I heard this.
Don't know.
115.
Ah.
1-1-5.
But there's a new number for the charges, so it's not a coincidence.
No, look.
I mean, do you need a tinfoil hat here to talk to us about the...
Look, it was an amazing result. But let's be honest about the performance itself. I actually think it's just about qualifying for the green. United didn't have a shot of note until the 73rd minute when Hoyden put through Bruno Fernandes and he kind of dinked it just wide. And let's be honest, right? If it had stayed 1-0 like it was right up until the 88th minute, we'd be talking about United losing three Premier League games in a row. We would be saying that, he's still working on it and this team is just awful. Like, you heard the halftime analysis. Roy Keane was laying into United about how poor they are, about how low of an ebb this side has got to, and that there's very little to be excited about and the expectations have dropped so significantly. And then, of course, he drops Marcus Rashford and Alejandro Garnacho.
Sorry, if it had stayed 1-0, that is exclusively what we're talking about, right? That's the lead. He dropped these two. They had no pace. He turns to his bench and it's Xerxes and Anthony, that he's turning to. What these?
Do you know what? I hear you, but I actually don't necessarily think we would have been talking about where was Rashford, where was Garnacho. I think it would just be, this is how poor this squad is, and this is how much work needs to be done. But of course, you can't countenance the fact is this is an unprecedented situation that both Manchester City and Pep Guardiola find themselves in, or certainly Man City since they got money and became serious as a title-winning side. And that's the reason that United have won this game. Like, you know, City completely self-destructed. Bernardo Silva afterwards was speaking with Sky, who was incredibly open and honest, and said for the last 15 minutes, we play like an under-15s side. So Manchester United are in the green, but you can't talk about United here without mentioning City and just how strange of a game it was. There wasn't a shot on or off target by either side until the 21st minute.
Yeah,
when Phil Foden chested and volleyed wide. Foden was okay. He came into it a bit later. That's the longest it's taken for a shot in Manchester derby since 2006.
But you know what I'd love to know, and maybe there's been a few outliers along the way, but it was funny watching afterwards when these stats come up and United had 49% possession.
Yeah.
I'd love to know when they were that high last against Man City.
Well, that's true. And their XG was higher.
Yeah. I suppose the penalty helps that a little bit, but it's...
The XG, 2.18 for Man United, 0.99 for City.
It was weird. But City were... I think exactly what you're saying. I don't think the result, let alone the performance, tells you much about where Man United are or aren't going.
Mm.
But City...
Yeah.
They're cooked.
Like, I think it's more damning.
They were
more
shocking.
Damning for City, for sure, yeah.
I think. The three shots on target at home.
Was it three, was it? Yeah.
I mean, Forest scored three against United away last weekend.
Yeah,
like it's not the most difficult team to break down.
And that's why I actually be quite critical of United's performance is that the City side are so vulnerable that it took them that long, 73rd minute, to have a proper shot. Now they had a moment in the first half where they cut through the City defence and Ahmad had a 1-on-1 and he put it wide in the near post, but it was ruled out for offside, so obviously doesn't count in the overall statistics. And Gary Neville on commentary was like, why aren't United doing this more? You can attack this City side, they're there for the taking. And it's just, it was classic, both sides are so low on confidence, and that's exactly what you saw the result of. We had Daniel Harris on the show on Friday, and I was saying to him, is this the hardest Manchester derby to predict in living memory, because both sides are so terrible? And that kind of proved to be the case. But look, they stuck in there, United, and they put themselves into a position to eventually win that game, because they were 1-0 down for quite a long time, and they never really seemed to change the way they played at all. The one thing with Amorim is, he's come in, we knew his preferred system, he's implemented that, he's stuck to it, and he's incredibly transparent and clear about what he wants to do. And his thing is, the players have to come along with me, and we saw two of the star United players left out entirely yesterday. So he set himself up for success, I would say. The problem is, it's such a flawed squad, and he's seeing it every single game so far. But an incredible win. People will probably forget about the performance with each passing week and remember the result. It set him up nicely.
When you say it's a flawed squad, like what? Give me positions, the key positions that they need players in.
Okay, well, see, that's a really good question, because I could argue that you could nearly get an upgrade in every single position at United at the moment. Like, Onana can be good, but he can be a liability too. So you could argue you could actually get a better goalkeeper, but they're not going to do that because they have loads of other problem positions. They probably, I would say, aren't massively convincing at the back. They probably do with a better centre-half in there, at least one. Wing-backs, I wouldn't be too convinced of Mazraoui and Dalot long-term. Midfield, Ugarte looks like he's coming into it slightly. Mainoo, I was kind of surprised he didn't start unless he wasn't fit enough. Maybe we'll ask Andy Mitten about that. He comes on for Mason Mount, who gets injured. So Ugarte, Mainoo, Bruno Fernandes is decent. Hoyland's a good striker, but he's quite raw. Ahmad's coming into it. So that's all a lot of potential there. But there's still, like, say, players like 12, 13, 14, squad number-wise, beyond. I'd say it's weak enough. Like, look who came on. It's not too convincing. There's a lot of work needs to be done with it.
Casemiro, Eriksen and Malaysia didn't come on.
Yeah.
Casemiro so still celebrating wildly at the
he
end.
Did, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, fair play. So Casemiro and Eriksen will go in the summer. Harry Maguire is actually out of contract. Maguire played well yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sure Casemiro and Eriksen will go in. So Eriksen is out of contract.
Yeah, but I'd be so surprised if Casemiro stays this season.
He's got to pay
unless literally no one will take him off their hands. So I really think that's a really good question that you've asked about, like, who would you change? Because on their day, everyone I've just named there was like, they're all good players, but I've seen them be terrible for a long time. Pretty much everyone I named there, with the exception of Ahmad, who's really only getting his United career going since Amorim started, I've seen them all been terrible. So it's hard to trust which players are actually good enough to play for Man United. What was it Gary Neville said yesterday? Ahmad looks like the only Man United quality player here, and that was after he scored the winner.
I just tend to think that, like, this isn't an easy way of doing it, but you know the same type of thing when Liverpool brought in Van Dijk, Alisson. They came in the same summer, if I'm not wrong, because I think they came from the Coutinho money.
Van Dijk came in January.
January, okay. Well, maybe it wasn't the same thing, but that was what the money was spent on, was it? So that was back-to-back.
They were very close, anyway.
And they kind of came in back-to-back, and I think it's a kind of one of those things where it's, if you get 2-3, as they did obviously with Salah as well. And like, no, that's a disservice to some of the rest of the players they had in their team who were superior anyway. But I do think that if you can get 2 or 3 big signings right, there's kind of a rising tide effect for a lot of players. I just think if you have someone, so they're desperately lacking someone in midfield who can take the ball, ideally off either wing back, turn and go, which is obviously a very difficult thing to do because you don't see anyone doing it. Where it is that tense, especially yesterday with City, that's where all the space was. It's all down the middle. You go past, I mean, you could walk past Gundogan at a brisk pace. Like, he's not giving any real passel. They didn't really have anyone who could do that. Like, Ugarte is very good in between, but he's not that. He's not very dynamic at the ball. I'm not sure what Mainoo is, to be honest with you. And Fernandes is kind of, he's not that either. He just doesn't really have that sort of style about, he's great at times, but I don't know who that player is. But I feel like someone like that comes in, who stays fit, who stays healthy, who plays 75-80% of the games, all of a sudden everyone around them kind of gets better.
It really brings the room together.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't think it's a case of that type of thing. Everyone has to go. It's like, it's just nonsense. Like, because
well, it's also unrealistic. It is.
Yeah, it's just like they have a big problem there, a left back or left wing back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a huge issue.
And that's a big part of his system as well. So he needs that sorted.
You got to get someone there with a left foot because at the minute it's you like even yesterday. I don't know exactly, and I'd love to know what the plan was yesterday for exploiting Walker, who is looking shot. Because the idea, I suppose, initially was to put Mount out there, but Mount's not going to do anything to him. And Dallow's quick, but he's not lightning, and he's not. You also know exactly what he has to do every single time. Yeah.
But Garnacho was really.
Garnacho wasn't even on the bench.
He was the perfect matchup for him, though.
So absolutely perfect.
That is like a big decision.
Huge.
Not to. There's this weakness. We have this thing which is a strength. Oh, I don't want it. He's obviously done so badly in training.
Yeah.
So Amrun was a pains point out. It's not a disciplinary issue. We watch everything. He's like the throbbing eye of Sauron, keeping an eye on these players.
It's how you train he started with. And you hear that lots over the years about players who are omitted from squads. But what was interesting, turn of phrase, was how they interacted with teammates. So what you read into that is they were sulking all the time. They weren't trying that hard and everybody else is up for it. So they have to go. And they were both made train yesterday morning as well. So they made go into like a normal work day where everyone else got the excitement of actually going to the Etihad to play the Manchester Derby.